Here. We'll just do the invocation to the Gita. Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Munina मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम् ऐ वुड् रिक्वेस्ट् पीपल् टु कम् टु द फ्रण्ट् Those who are in the back, that way you can see the board and also it will be a little easier to be a part of the class. Otherwise, everybody's back is too far for me. Yeah, if everybody can come to the front, I'll appreciate that. Thank you. So welcome to the Bhagavad Gita class. Currently, we are doing the 18th chapter. We are almost done with the Bhagavad Gita. We will be starting the first chapter in a week or two. But today, I thought instead of doing the 18th chapter, which we are at the conclusion, I thought it will be best to pick one of the most popular and the most famous and the very practical shloka of the second chapter. Second chapter, number 47. If you don't have the book, you're welcome to on your phone. Just Gita chapter 2, shloka 47. That way you can follow the shloka and also chant with me. This shloka is the essence of karma yoga. You know, people say, O karma kar, phal ki chinta mat kar. What exactly is meant by that? Does it mean that I should work and not worry about what I am going to get, then nothing will be achieved. So what is the exact meaning of karma and what is the exact meaning of karma yoga? Bhagavan Sri Krishna in this shloka, which is Chatur Sutri, it has four aspects in this shloka. And in that, the entire science of karma yoga is covered. There is nothing else. Of course, Bhagavan expands on that in the whole third chapter. But the second chapter, this 47th shloka, talks about karma, karma yoga, and what is my duty and how should I work in the world? Because we all have to work. You cannot stop working, whether you are doing a job or whether you are at home or taking care of children or retired or whatever. We all have to do work. So what should be my attitude? That Bhagwan is going to tell us. So I'll chant and you can repeat after me. Karmanyevadhikaraste.
Karmanyevadhikaraste.
Maphaleshu kadachana. Ma karma phalahetu. माते संगोस्त्व कर्मणि ऑल टुगेदर कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते महाफलेषु कदाचन मा कर्म फल हेतुर्भूः मा ते संगोस्त्व कर्मणि. इट इज अ लिटिल वार्म इफ यू कैन. So Bhagwan says, I'll do the word by word translation and then we'll do the commentary. You can follow the points on this board. So karmani eva adhikarah te. Karmani, in karma alone, karmani eva adhikarah te. Your right is only in the action. Only in the action. Ma phaleshu kadachana. Ma means Bhagwan is saying no, but not no as an order or as a command, as a request, please. Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, even though Bhagwan is the Lord of the universe, nowhere he gives any command or any instruction to Arjuna. The entire Bhagavad Gita is 700 shlokas of advice. And even at the end, he says, do as you wish. I have taught you 700 shlokas. What yathechasi tatha guru. So Bhagwan is very democratic. He's telling us that please ma. So karmanye vadika raste, your right is not to the action. Ma phaleshu kadachana. So your right is only in the action. Ma means not. Phaleshu means in the fruit, in the result, kadachana. So your right is only in the action, not in the fruit, not in the result. So this shloka confuses people that if I am working, should I not worry about what will happen, what is the result, what will I get? So we'll talk about that. Ma phaleshu kadachana. Ma karma phala hetur bhuhu. Bhuhu means ever, never. Karma phala hetur, not what am I going to get? What is going to be the result? That should not be the hetu. That should not be the cause. That should not be the motive for your action. And last is ma te sangaha sangostu karmani. May thy attachment sangaha not be to a karmani, to inaction. So your job is to act, not worry about the results. Don't worry about what am I going to get out of this. But at the same time, if I am not going to get anything, then why should I work? So Bhagwan says, no, work you must. So these four aspects we will cover. As we said, this Chatur Sutri, these four sutras can cover the entire essence of Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? Karma is action. We all know that. Any action is a karma karra. Yoga means the act. Yoga comes from yuj. Yuj means to attach. So when my actions are attached to a higher cause, that becomes karma yoga. Higher it can be, okay, I'm not only working for myself, I'm working for my family. That is better than working for myself. But a lot of people do that. Okay, I'm not only working for my family, I'm working for the community. I'm working for the Chinmaya mission. So whenever we do that, then our action becomes higher. Then larger than that can be, I'm working for my state, for my nation, then for the whole earth. You know, so many great Mahatmas and masters came whose focus was not only on themselves or their community or their religion or their faith, but for the entire humanity. And ultimately, the highest is the entire universe. Where that's why we say, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya. May everybody be happy. May everybody be free from disease. Not every Hindu, may every Muslim, may every Christian, may everyone be, including the 14 worlds, heavens, hells, everywhere. So that is our prayer. So when they say, do not worry about the result, Every action will have a result, have a fruit. You know, nobody works without fruit. Even when you came here this morning, you came here, why? To see what our children are learning, or when you are sending to the children to Balbiar, You're not just sending just like that. You are expecting that they will learn something, they will benefit from it. Even you get up in the morning and make breakfast, it is to feed the family. So every action is done with a result in mind, with a fruit in mind. So what does Bhagwan mean by saying that do not let your motive be on the result? See, one very good example is how if I get focused on the result, my action won't be efficient. Say there are two salesmen and they are selling a new product and they are from competing companies. And so they go to the client and each one salesman is supposed to present his or her, you know, company, how they are better, their product is better. Now the salesman preparing at night or the day before, one is worried about, you know, what will happen if I get this contract? If I get this contract, my commission is 6%. I'll make $60,000. It's a huge contract. And if I get it, I'll buy a new car or I'll take my family on a trip. And if I don't get the contract, then what will happen? You know, my company will not be happy with me. I won't get promotion. So all the time while he's preparing, and while he's making the presentation to the client, his focus is on, if I get, hoga to milega to kya hoga, nahi milega to kya hoga. And so his focus is all the time on the outcome rather than the presentation. While the second salesman has, he also knows he will get the commission, he'll get 60,000, he'll get promotion. But his focus while presenting is not on that. While he is preparing and while he is talking, he's focusing on the presentation. Well, how am I going to do a good job? And he knows, both of them know the result will be the same. But while he's, his full attention is on the presentation, on the client, and how this product will help the client. He has no other motive, no other thought. Everything he has put in the back of his mind. Now, whose presentation will be more efficient? The one whose attention is on the presentation, the one who is worried, if I don't get it, what will happen? Then his mind will be disturbed, his mind will not be focused, and he will not be able to do his best at that time. So that's why they say, while doing the action, do your best, but focus on the present. Because the present is in the future. Whatever I do in the present, the result will be in the future. Like the farmer, he's planting the seeds. The result will be in 6 months or a year. But if while planting, he's thinking about what crop I will get, and then he forgets to put the fertilizer or forgets to water, then the product will be not good. So they say all actions should be focused with that, number one. Number two, what is karma yoga? It is doing actions with a higher goal in mind, unselfishly. One is the nishiddha karma should not be performed. Any negative actions, you know, that's why all the scriptures say, thou shall not cheat, thou shall not steal. So nishiddha karma should not be done, and the right action should be done with the right attitude. And the goal in life should be not what I can get from the ma karma phala hetur bhutu, what I can give. That's why John F. Kennedy also said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And as long as our goal is higher for a higher cause, our action becomes more efficient. And we know examples of so many great leaders, Mahatma Gandhi. When he was Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, he was an ordinary lawyer. But then he went to South Africa, and when he decided, I'm going to fight apartheid and I'm going to work for the freedom of India, he became Mahatma. Swami Chinmayananda, Pujya Gurudev, this picture you see here, his name was Balakrishna Menon. He was an ordinary journalist. He went to the Himalayas to expose the sadhus. But when he met them, and he met Swami Shivanand Maharaj and then Swami Tapovan Maharaj, his gurus, they inspired him, where he became from Balakrishna Menon to Swami Chinmayananda. And when he came down from the Himalayas, For the next 43 years, from 1950 to 1993, he traveled throughout the world, constantly every week in a new country, in a new place, and spreading this message of Vedanta to the entire world. And his goal was, Ghar Ghar Mein Gita, may Bhagavad Gita be in every house. And that's what he did. He gave us Gita, Gyan, Yajna, Upanishads. In the office, we have his commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads. And there are more than 300, 400 centers like this, where these teachings are going on, where adults are studying, children are doing Bal Vihar, all because of the vision of one Mahatma who was inspired by his gurus for a higher cause, to work for the betterment of society. Hanumanji is another example. All he was Sugriv's minister in the beginning. When he meets Bhagwan Sri Ram, and he says, Ramadut main jatu janaki, matu janaki, I'm a Ramadut. The moment he becomes Ramadut, he does phenomenal things. He flies over the ocean, he destroys, burns Lanka, he destroys so many demons. And he accomplishes so much because he is inspired that my goal is, I'm working for the Lord, not for me. I'm not even working for Sugriva, I'm working for the highest cause. So, but the thing is, the action I can do, but the result is not in my hand. I may do my best. A farmer may farm the crop properly and put all the fertilizers and all the seeds, but the rain doesn't come. Or even if the rain comes, the crop comes, but there's so much crop that there is overproduction. So he doesn't get recover his cost, or the crop fails. So the result is not all the time in our hand. In our hand is to do our best and then leave the result to Bhagavan. That's why Raman Maharishi says, Kartur Agnyaya Prapyate Phalam. The result comes from God. And I do my best, and that's all I can do. And while I am doing the action, worry about what is my goal, what is my duty. And this applies in whatever situation I am in. If I'm working for the family, when I'm cooking the food, I'm cooking for God, because God is in my children. Or when guests are coming, you don't say, oh, why do I have to cook for so many? Bhagwan is coming to my house in the form of the guests. When I'm cleaning or vacuuming or doing the dishes, I'm cleaning because this is Bhagwan's home. Bhagwan lives in this house. So then every action becomes a service, becomes a prayer to God. And the higher the motive, the purer the action. Otherwise, our action are generally me, myself, my family, and that's about it. But as we expand our vision, and that's what you see here also, that all the Bal Vihar teachers, they are spending so much time every week, they prepare and they, again, that is the idea that may the children of Bakersfield benefit. So when the job is done with a higher goal in mind, it could be in my home, it could be in my company. I'm working for State Farm or Allstate or Chevron. And my vision should be not only what I can get, how I can get promotion, but what is good for the company. Every company has a motto, has a goal. So the vision plus action together, when it is done, that is Karma Yoga. And example is, your child, say, is going to medical school. And they ask, why are you going to become a doctor? He says, doctors make a lot of money. So I want to become a doctor so I can be rich. I can buy a BMW and house in the country club. And another child is also going to medical school. He says, ask him, why are you going to medical school? Because it's a noble profession. People are sick. People are hurting. And by going into that profession, I'll be able to help people who are suffering. Now, both of them will make money. It's not that the second guy will not, but his motive or her motive is to how much people will benefit instead of what I will get. Another example is the teaching profession. A teaching profession is not considered very high because, you know, they don't make that much money. And so people say, I'm paying the tuition, let him just teach, you know, in the public school or private school. But think about it, teachers have such an impact on our life. Each, I'm sure each one of you remembers at least one teacher, at least I do, my teacher in seventh grade. Even today I remember her because she had so much impact. So all these professions have a great benefit to society. And so that is what one should remember. There's a very famous saying my mother used to tell me, Janani jane to bhakt jane, ya data ya sur, nahi to janani banj bhali, kahe gamaye noor. He says, Janani jane, if the mother has to have a child, to bhakt jane, she should create either a devotee of God. So if she's giving birth to a child, either the child should be a bhakta, a devotee of God, ya data, or a charitable person who makes a lot and he shares. Or the third one is shur, should be a brave person to sacrifice for his country. He says those are the only three reasons a mother should have a child. That let my child be a devotee of God, let my child be very generous, and let my child be brave, willing to sacrifice everything for the country. Not necessarily that they all have to be all three, but at least one of those I should. So that is the purpose of giving birth to a child, is may my child give to society. And that is what we have to teach. That is what Pujya Gurudev taught us. That's what Mahatma Gandhi taught us. That's what we learned from Hanumanji's life, that giving is better than receiving. That they say, when you give, you shall receive. And our ideas are different. When I get, then I will give. No, I will give, and then the return will come from who? From Bhagwan. Because he is the karma faladata. Whatever actions I have done, the results come from him. And not only will I get what I deserve, what I need, but I'll also get purity of mind. When I do unselfish actions dedicated to God, my mind becomes pure. The moment we think of Bhagwan, our mind becomes pure. That's why Pujya Gurudev says, turn your mind in devotion to God. He will purify it and return it back to you. So that is what the essence of karma yoga is. That is what we should do. And that is what Bhagwan wants to tell Arjuna also. Because coming back to Arjuna's situation, we all know that Arjuna was fighting on the side of Pandavas. And when he goes to the battlefield, before going, he said, to Riodhana, Karna, they have done so many bad things to us. I'll fight them. So he's ready to fight. And when he goes there, he sees Bhishma and Drona and all his cousins and all the family. And suddenly he starts getting worried. You know, now I have to fight all these people. I will be killing. My family, my... So Bhagwan says, you are not fighting for yourself. You are not fighting for your family. You are not fighting for your community. You are fighting for dharma. Because the Pandavas were on the side of good, of the side of dharma, and the Kauravas were on the side of adharma. So it is a battle between dharma and adharma, and your I and my does not matter, because if we don't remove this cancer called Kauravas, it's like a cancer in your leg. If you don't cut off the leg, the cancer will spread to the whole body. So the Kauravas were like a cancer on the whole of society. If they had not been eradicated, the whole India would have, you know, because they were the most powerful country, most powerful state. So that's what Bhagwan told him, that you are here to fight for the right cause, not for your own gain or not for this kingdom, but for dharma. And that's why Bhagwan himself is the best example of karma yoga. Even though he was the lord of the universe, he was king of Mathura. When Arjuna asks him to drive his chariot, he said, I'll do that. And if Bhagwan Krishna had not been on the Pandava side, they would have never won. The Kauravas were much stronger. They had much better weapons, better warriors. So in Bhagwan's life itself, you see how he lived a life of karma yoga so that society may be better. So we'll end here. That's why Bhagwan says, your motto should be to do what is right Do not worry about the result. Perform your best. And while acting, do not worry about what I can get, but what I can give. At the same time, you know, people say, if I'm not going to get what I want, then why should I work? Bhagwan says, no, it is your duty to work. So thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate that.